Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name is John McKinnon, and I handle the public sector channels for Akamai. But where I think what you're looking at is traditionally, government had this concern about open source software because there was nobody, unlike a Microsoft or .NET or something like that, or Java, there was nobody to sue. There's no risk, you know, because it was an open community, and who you're going to sue in the community. So when Vivek Kundra really made this cloud-first initiative and this really pushed towards open source and Drupal, Whitehouse.gov and Recovery.gov and a lot of these sites that went up, Data.gov, they got very, very great fanfare, but what we also found was that this chief information security officers were really nervous because of the fact that being open source software, people thought, well, it might not be as secure as something else. And so what they looked at is places that we do in Akamai is really secure Drupal. And we do it at the edge. So for example, you know, July 4th, there was a major DDoS attack. And on a lot of sites, including the Drupal sites, and I'm happy to say that none of the sites that were Drupal sites ever went down, which is a nice thing to have and say, and including the fact that some of them sustained over 124 gigs of traffic in 8 hours. So no site that was a Drupal site for the federal government ever went down. And it's nice to say that, whereas there's other sites that were written in other code that got crushed and went down very quickly. Now, we were fortunate to get them back up when they came over to our platform. But I think that's one of those things that we're looking at with Akamai is to say, okay, what is it that the government's trying to do to embrace it? The fact that open source is much more easy to develop, and then the fact that it's not proprietary, and the fact that it allows you much more customization. And as with the whole thing with compare to SharePoint, where you've got a great deal of flexibility as it relates to community and groups and, you know, stuff that you can have collaboration with, where SharePoint really don't have that capacity. That's what I think people look for in open source. But I think what they're also looking back on is, how do we secure it?
So I guess one thing about Akamai is that it's a content delivery network, and so you're kind of like taking the copy of the actual site, sort of storing it in your local caches, and then, you know, you have the bandwidth around the world to kind of handle all the traffic without, you know, taking down the servers. So, you know, is it just static sites? Can it be dynamic? And you know.
Yeah, we do a little bit of each. I always look at us as the FedEx of the internet. You know, we're never looking in your package, but we're going to make sure it gets delivered quickly and efficiently wherever it is. Originally, we were primarily a caching company, right? We were streaming, live media, and we're still the largest in the world at that stuff. But for dynamic sites and enterprise applications, what we're doing now is really accelerating them. So instead of traditional BGP, which is based on the shortest number of hops somebody's going to, we really do a thing called SureRoute, which is basically we'll take the same routes, put it over 4 different paths, and since we have 73,000 servers in 73 countries and 1,100 different networks, and it's a giant MIT algorithm of the internet, so we're like a giant Garmin or TomTom of the internet, we're always going to guarantee you, even if it's just purely dynamic traffic, to be faster than just going over the regular old internet. And I think that's the advantage that people have, is between that and the fact that we can secure chain the title between the two places, and the flash crowds and other things that we're normally known for, but it's the element of the performance of the application plus the security of it. And then they're looking at it and say, oh, if I can do this easier, faster in Drupal, then maybe it's easier for me to go jump to that if I've got something like Akamai in front of it.
I see. And it sounds like you started as like a media streaming company, building up the infrastructure, kind of bootstrapping yourself in that way. And now you're kind of branching into more niche specific things of like security and using this sort of infrastructure you have to be able to kind of like deliver things securely. Is that like accurate?
Yeah, it is. And I think the other thing we're trying to do a lot is more of commerce. So we've got a thing we just rolled out on edge tokenization. So literally we'll have it so that no credit card data will ever be stored at a hosting center. And what that really helps is that PCI compliance, because PCI is really, really expensive to do an audit for. So if we can make that audit go away, since we're already PCI DSS ourselves, that's a savings that anybody's going to do. So a lot of today's discussions here at DrupalCon have all been around mobile apps or e-commerce apps, or how do I create Drupal Means Business is the theme today. And so it's an element of utilizing us as a way of just being able to make that secure, make that there, where you're right, our origins had always been the kind of like routing the internet, delivery of dumb bits, streaming, caching and stuff, which we still do. So next week with March Madness, we'll be handling 4.5 terabits per second over an HD platform, and that will be the largest event we have, and that will be eclipsed by the royal wedding 2 months later. So I think, it started with the inauguration and then went on to the World Cup was the biggest we had recently, but now this one, March Madness, will eclipse it. And as I think you see more connected devices and people going through more connected devices as opposed to going to the regular TV, because they just don't want to pay the cable fees, right? They don't want to pay all that stuff. You're going to start seeing more people just publish to the web and use the web as kind of their primary thing. And so you'll see connected TVs, connected devices, and mobile devices is going to probably be the next proliferation you're going to see within Drupal as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like if with each of these big events, you're kind of having to scale out your capacity and resources and sort of take the investments from the previous ones and just sort of keep building this out. One thing that sort of happened that I know some people have some questions about is like this whole net neutrality thing of like bifurcating the internet between like the fast lane and the slow lane. And like, where does Akamai fit into that?
Well, we make it all go away. And I think we like net neutrality. So I hate to say it, because all these tier one ISPs are in the business of making money. And if you're net neutrality, that means I'm not going to make any money from handing off your traffic or you handing off my traffic. So why would I really want to accelerate your traffic? In fact, I want to siphon your traffic off as much as possible, because I can say it's slow. Well, it's slow because of somebody else. And it's slow because of them. But if you came on my network, you'd be fast. So what we find is that Akamai, because we're a giant algorithm of the internet, we route around all of those bad handoffs and bad handshakes and those siphoning up and siphoning down. So anytime you see a net neutrality, you really think of Akamai as kind of a Garmin routing you around all those congestion points. And those congestion points happen a lot of times. So the tier one ISPs, and I think the thing everybody's looking at now is if you look at the Netflix example where Comcast turned down Netflix because they were ticked off that they were carrying more traffic for free that they felt they should be getting paid for. Well, what happened is that if you're a user and you're using Netflix, you have no idea. You realize, hey, this was really fast on Tuesday. Why is it slow as hell to get it down on Wednesday or Thursday? Well, you got no opportunity or rule. Where somebody like Akamai comes in is they would say, okay, if it's slow over this path, we're going to push you over to this path automatically. So we can make sure that the person's got the best availability of being able to get whatever content they're trying to get to. But I think it's, and again, with Drupal is an open source software is really pushing this to the edge because of the fact that the limitations of what people could do before and the experience of what people could do before now allow them to do a lot more intuitive things quicker and faster. And I know in the federal space, they cut the web development time to market by a good third. And if you think about it, with all the open gov initiatives and all the way the federal government has to spend its money now, the more money you have stuff out and the less time you have spending on full-time equivalents producing stuff, you're really going to have a much better experience and you're going to spend in the taxpayers' dollars a lot faster and a lot better.
I see. And I guess there's a lot of like big government websites. There's also a lot of like smaller government websites. And so talk to me a little bit about like being here at DrupalCon, like, who you're sort of talking to and like who you're interested in sort of like learning from. And
yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, my VCR still blinks 12 when I talk to certain people on DrupalCon because of the fact that when they start talking about how they're developing and how they're running code and where they're writing code, I start getting to a point of like, okay, it's saturation. But predominantly where we fit in is, if you think about it in the terms of somebody like these organizations that do the development, they want something that's going to be able to have a performance, scalability, and security. That's where Akamai comes to play. A hosting provider, they don't want to host flash crowd attacks because they're going to be at a point where they don't get it. They're going to be overwhelmed. If it's a DDoS attack, maybe it's a site that is taken down, but it's going to take down the entire data center, much like WikiLeaks was, right, for Amazon's cloud. And I think that's going to be an element that you're going to look at where we dovetail nicely into those folks, and we dovetail nicely into the hosting providers, we dovetail nicely into the integrators and also the developers, because we kind of give them an SLA, all of them, to the end user. So the end user experience is going to have an SLA that we're going to make sure it's 100% available all the time, to anybody, anywhere in the world, on any device. And that's a pretty powerful message that only Akamai can deliver that nobody else can.
Cool. And finally, what makes you the most excited about the Drupal community and being here at DrupalCon?
I never have seen, and hopefully it never changes, I've never seen so much more of a cooperation organization. Traditional shows that you go to, you see a lot of frenemies and a lot of cooperation, right? You know, you see a lot of people who are like, well, I'm going to give you something, but I'm not going to give you too much because I don't want you to take what I have and make it better. This is the absolute opposite here. I can't tell you how many times what people said, if you want the code, here's the URL, go get it. If you find anything, make it happen, make it faster, make it better. If there's a bug you see, come let me know. And I never have seen that collection and harnessed ever before in an organization of like this magnitude where you just think it's just kind of an association, but it's really an organization. And it's an organization of people who are really committed passionately to making it succeed, but also making a profit off of it. And I'm be interested to see as this grows and as more people see Drupal sites, especially in the government, you're gonna see all the integrators who are for-profit integrators. I hope that they don't co-opt the message without co-opting the culture, because the culture here has been developed beautifully and organically and successfully, but I hope that people don't take it over and make it, unfortunately, make Drupal the new cloud, the new black. I don't want it to be the hot word next year. I want it to be something that people wear as a badge of honor, not as just, oh, we do Drupal.
Cool. Well, great. Thanks.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.